ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभां शंकराचार्य मध्यमां अस्मदादयात् ओम शांति 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 ओम शन्नो मित्रशं वरुणः शन्नो भवत्वरियमा शन्न इन्द्रो बृहस्पतिः शन्नो विष्णुरुक्रमः नमो ब्रह्मणे नमस्ते वायो त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्मासि त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्म वदिष्यामि ऋतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि मामवतो तद्वक्तारमवतो अवतो माम् अवतो वक्तारम् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
Today we are supposed to start the third section of the Taittiriya Upanishad known as Bhrguvalli. We have finished Sikshavalli, the first chapter, Brahmanandavalli, the second chapter, second section, and now the third chapter or section, third chapter called Bhrguvalli. And here also, the first mantra, the first line of this section, this chapter, begins with the word Bhrguhu. Therefore, it is known by the word Bhrguvalli. Brahma vida apnoti param. Therefore, the second chapter begins with the word Brahman. Therefore, it's called Brahmavalli or Brahmanandavalli. And Sikshadhyaya begins with the word Sikshaam vyakhyasyamaha. So every chapter is named after the first word. The Sikshavalli, first chapter. Brahmanandavalli or Brahmavalli, second chapter. The third chapter is called Bhrguvalli. So you can make out the third chapter begins with the word Bhrguhu. Anyway, before even going there, this third chapter known as Bhrguvalli, we have to see what is subject matter of this Bhrguvalli. What are we going to study here? The main topic of the Upanishad, the Swarupam of Brahman, has been unfolded in the very second chapter. With the second chapter itself, the main topic of the Upanishad is over. That does not mean we should stop coming to the classes anymore hereafter. Okay. Because that's what main topic is over, now what is there? That's not true. Main topic of the Upanishad is over, but subject matter of the Upanishad is still important. Therefore, and here, so the Brahman is not the Swarupam of Brahman is not discussed in this third chapter, in the second chapter. Then what is the subject matter of the third chapter, this Bhrguvalli here? The Bhrguvalli mainly deals with the two things. One is sadhanani, jnana prapti sadhanani and jnana phalam. So the means, the preparatory disciplines which are definitely required for the rising of knowledge, called preparatory disciplines, jnana prapti sadhanani, one topic mainly discussed. And the second thing discussed in the second chapter is, the third chapter is jnana phalam, benefit of knowledge. Two things are discussed mainly here. And before even going there, we have to understand one more thing. This section also Like how I told you earlier, every section has a Shanti mantra. Every section repeats Shanti mantra. Om Sahana Vavato Sahana Bhunakto Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. And why do we, so we know very well now, the two topics are discussed here mainly, Jnana Prapti Sadhanani and Jnana Phalam, benefit of knowledge, and the disciplines required for knowledge. Then this prayer also, we have already done prayer, but still there's a prayer continues, because prayer is always needed until the knowledge takes place, you require prayer. We should never give up prayer. Oh, we are all studying Shastram, Upanishads, therefore we don't need prayer. No, prayer is always needed. Prayer becomes, the only, should culminate in knowledge, then prayer comes to an end. When can I stop praying? When you are free. Okay? When you are free from samsara, when you discover your freedom, already existing freedom, then you don't need to pray. The freedom also not attaining. The freedom which is already there and which you do not know, and by knowledge of what freedom is, what limitlessness is, what happiness is, what the reality is, when you discover the freedom as the swarupam of reality, as your own self, then that is the culmination of devotion, bhakti, prayer and worship. Then you don't need to pray anymore, you don't need to worship anymore. Because where is the worshipper, where is the worship, where is the worshipping? Isn't it? You resolve the worshipper, worshipped and the worshipping in all one three, isn't it? Then you don't need to pray. But till then, prayer is a must, compulsory. Therefore, again, the section begins with the prayer. And then we are not going to see the details of this prayer, because already we all know very well the meaning of this Shanti Pataha Sahana Vavatu. But what is the significance? What is specially prayer here? The four aspects are very important. Four things we have to, four factors are important. What are they? Actually, an ideal, the prayer is for maintaining an ideal relationship between the teacher and the student. What is prayer for? It is very important to maintain the ideal relationship, because, the functional relationship must be there. Like how it is said in psychology, the functional family, non-functional family means what? The husband and wife quarrel between each other and the children get confused. It's a non-functional family. Okay? So functional family means everything, there must be some rubs may be there, but understanding, accommodation and give and take together so that the children don't know anything and so everything goes smoothly. Now this is functional. Like that here also, the teaching, all if the teaching, Shastra study has to become effective, has to be really fruitful, then definitely it's very important to have the functional relationship, isn't it? So ideal relationship between the student and the teacher, which means the student must have respect and Shraddha. Shraddha for the teacher, isn't it? Shraddha and Bhakti. Shraddha, Bhakti for the Shastram and also the teacher. And the student, teacher also should have love and compassion for towards the student. This is the thing very important. That is what is actually one main aspect of the prayer. One of the main aspects of the prayer. And the second prayer is what? Second thing prayer, what is prayed for is, then appropriate effort. We pray to Bhagavan to bless us with, we are making efforts for jnanam, but foolishly making some efforts, and efforts become vain and waste of time and energy. Okay, coming and sitting and going, one after finding fault, Therefore, we have to make appropriate efforts also. Oh Lord, please bless us with the capacity to make appropriate efforts, so that our efforts also become useful and effective. Appropriate efforts, second aspect. The third aspect is acquisition of knowledge through the study of the Shastram, which is the benefit of, benefit of the study. What is the benefit of studying the Shastram? So, the study of the Shastram should result in acquisition of knowledge, which is Jnana Praptihi. What is Jnana Praptihi? Perspective change. The study of the Shastram should result in knowledge, which is the perspective change. And what is the benefit of knowledge? Benefit of the study is knowledge. What is the benefit of jnanam? Jnana prayojanam. No, the knowledge should result in, the knowledge must be effective also. So knowledge should be effective means that jnanam should, perspective change should result in personality transformation. Isn't it? So jnana praptihi, which is perspective change, and jnana phalam, personality transformation, which is the fourth aspect. And second is appropriate efforts for jnanam, and for which this ideal, appropriate relationship between the teacher and the student. These are the four things we are, four aspects are actually prayed for. What is actual prayer? What is implied through the prayer? Then after this prayer, which we see here, as I told you, the Upanishad, the chapter begins with the word Bhrguhu. And Bhrgu, the whole teaching is in the form of a dialogue between the teacher and the student. Why Upanishad suddenly introducing the teacher and the student? Because to emphasize the fact that this jnanam, one should never make an effort to know independently, which means without the help of the teacher, self-study is definitely not acceptable in tradition. Self-study is not at all acceptable. One has to study with the help of the teacher only. Now, to emphasize that fact, here again, all the teachings and all the Upanishads are in the form of dialogue between the teacher and the student. Guru Sishya Samvada Rupe Naiva Pataha Bhavati. Only in the form of dialogue between the student and the teacher. Okay. So here, the student is called Bhruguhu and the teacher is Varunaha. This Varunaha, not only the teacher, also the father. Very rare. The father himself becomes the teacher here, Guruhu. Now, that is why in our culture, when Upanayanam is done, when the first, there's a ritual performed, one of the 41 samskaras is called Upanayanam. Upanayanam means when the child becomes 7 or 9, he is initiated into the study of the scriptures. And we had to perform a ritual. The child is taught Gayatri Mantra by his own father. So father himself play the role of a teacher there. So generally that's the culture. But here the Varunaha himself becomes the teacher for Bhruguhu, his son. And if we say, the disciplines that are highlighted here are, as I told you, the disciplines one requires, there are two types of disciplines. What is the direct discipline required for jnanam? Disciplines are required for jnanam. If the disciplines are not present, in the absence of disciplines, knowledge will not take place. So for the knowledge to take place also, disciplines are a must. To prepare the mind for the knowledge, thereby to knowledge to rise, disciplines are important. And even after the rising of knowledge also, to retain the knowledge in the mind also, what now? When the personality itself, to retain the knowledge, disciplines are required. And even after retaining the knowledge, to ascertain the knowledge also, disciplines are required. Okay? Disciplines are required for gaining knowledge, retaining knowledge, assimilating, ascertaining knowledge. Disciplines are important. Therefore, and what is that? Therefore, we call sadhanam, jnana sadhanani. And after jnana sadhanani, we say vicharaha. Vicharaha means enquiry. Enquiry into the Vedic statement, Vedantic statement, a teacher's statement, teaching, is called what? Vicharaha. And vicharaha is the direct discipline, directly associated, directly connected, intimately associated discipline is called this vicharaha. Vicharaha, vichara of what? Enquiry into the meaning of the subject matter of the shastra. That vichara is the direct discipline. It's called sakshat sadhanam. Please Allah, keep your eyes open and sit so that I can see it. I cannot talk to people who are not seeing me. Therefore, sakshat sadhanam means direct discipline. And indirect discipline also we have. Vichara has the direct discipline. And indirect discipline means the parampara sadhanani. Sakshat sadhanam vicharaha. For what? For knowledge. Jnanam is the sadhanam for moksha. And jnanasya sadhanam, jnanaya sadhanam is what? Sakshat sadhanam, directly, intimately associated discipline is what? Sakshat sadhanam is vicharaha, enquiry into the subject matter of the shastra. Then, this parampara sadhanani. Parampara sadhanani means the preparatory disciplines, to be practiced for integration of the mind, for the mental integrity or integration or integrity of personality, integration of personality, we need to practice some disciplines, and they are called parampara sadhanani, because they are indirect disciplines. Why they are called indirect? See, just practicing these disciplines themselves may result in integration of personality. Integration of personality itself is not moksha or jnanam. Therefore, what now? But it is very much integration of personality is very important for the knowledge. Therefore, it is said to be what now? It's not a direct sadhanam, it is an indirect means for jnanam. Vichara is the direct sadhanam. So, like this, we have two types of sadhanani, sakshat sadhanam, parampara sadhanani. And here, what are the parampara sadhanani? What are the indirect disciplines? We say, and in this text, in this third section, like how we have already seen some upasanani. Hope we all remember Sikshavalli, already we have seen some upasanani. Remember them all? Remember all the upasanas? Five upasanas we saw. Now slowly five, and I say people remember. Five, isn't it? Meditations we have seen. Anyway, next talk, please go through and come. So five upasanas like this. Here again, few more upasanani meditations. Meditative techniques are also prescribed here. parampara sadhanani. You remember, very when you learn, you understand what is meditation, what is the limitation of it, what it can do, what it cannot do, what is advantage of it, what is the limitation of it. We'll all understand the very way we present the subject matter. So upasanam is a meditative technique to discipline the mind, and which is prescribed here. Some meditations are taught here. Then some vows are also vratani. It's also for disciplining the mind only. Some vratas are also discussed. In this way, we have twofold sadhanani are discussed. Parampara sadhanani, sakshat sadhanam, vicharaha, upasanani, and vratani, vows. They're all taught, discussed here. Then, jnana palam is what? Mokshaha, isn't it? Jnana palam also is discussed here. Jnana sadhanani, jnana palam are the two topics discussed here. And what are the jnana sadhanani? Sakshat sadhanam, parampara sadhanam. Sakshat sadhanam, vicharaha, parampara sadhanani, upasanani, and certain vows. Because dharma anushtanam, karma yogaha, etc. has already been discussed in the very first section. And dharma anushtanam is always emphasized. Because there's no way of mentally becoming disciplined without being committed to live a life of values. So dharma is this pradhanam, very, very important thing for us. So, with this understanding, we have to enter into the Upanishad section here. Here, this Bhrguhu, it is said, Bhrguhu here is known by the name Varunihi. Varunihi is an other word for Bhrguhu, to mean Bhrguhu. Why? Because Varunasya apatyam puman Varunihi. Varunasya putraha Varunihi. In Sanskritam we have this thing, we can form like this words. One who belongs to Dasharatha, our son of Dasharatha, is called Dasharathihi. Janakasya putri Janaki, videha deshasya mahila, no, vaidehi, mithilayaha sambandini maithili. Like, you know, we always connect the person to a place or a father or a mother, and you can call like that. The person by that name also. Now, like, you know, Gangeyaha. Like, we have many names. So here, Varunihi means what? Varunasya putraha Varunihi. And here, why do we have to say Varunasya putraha Varunihi? We don't need to distinguish. The same Bhrguhu was said to be the son of Brahmaji himself in one janma. And he died during the Daksha Yaga, without jnanam. So he has to be born again. And the same Bhrguhu continues. Then Bhrguhu comes back with the same name. So which Bhrguhu? Brahmaputra Bhrguhu or who? You may ask the question. Not important for Upanishad class, but just some extra information for you. So distinguish that, not that Bhrguhu, not the son of Brahma's Bhrguhu. And this Bhrguhu is Bhrgu Maharshi. Bhrguhu is a great sage Maharshi. And he's son of Varunaha. He is our hero here. Therefore, Bhrguhu, the son of Varunaha, Varunihi. Son of Varunaha is said to be Varunihi. Okay. And here, this Varunihi Bhrguhu, how great he is, if you want to know. You can, in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna says, all the best things in the world, he says, I am that. as his vibhuti, he says. So, Maharshinam Bhruguraham, Maharshinam Bhruguraham, Giramasmyekam Aksharam. Of all the words, Aham Aksharam, Om. And of all the rishis, I am Bhruguhu. He says, that means you know how great Bhrugu Rishi is. That Bhruguhu, as a young son of Varuna, and he is here as a student, disciple here. Really, he is a disciple. And this Bhruguhu, and who is this Bhruguhu? Not an ordinary student, very, very bright, evolved student. Okay, very bright student. Very bright student, how do we know? See, who is can be a bright student? See, in Vedic culture, if a child grows up, then naturally, the Vedic culture provides an atmosphere of a father and so, I'm not talking anything in fear of anybody or anything, just I'm telling. Generally, if a child grows up in India, Vedic culture, anywhere in the world, parents give lot of warmth and love and care, affection to the children, because children are the projects. These children growing up, then they don't know what to do, what is right, what is wrong. And then the parents make the children do whatever they expect them to do just by soaking them in love. By caring and warmth, lot of warmth, and the children get emotionally hooked to the parents. You have to get the children hooked to you emotionally, then you can get anything done through them. Anything has to be done through anybody, hook them, get them emotionally hooked. Okay? But not the whole jagat, that's cheating. Only your own children. Okay? So emotionally they have to become hooked to the parents. Then they will do anything whatever the parents tell. And to have them hooked to them emotionally, the parents have to how to get them? Lot of warmth and care and love and affection and everything they'll do. And such when children grow up in that such a background, they'll just listen to, they'll have a great respect also for the parents. And no, such a child, no, when they grow up, the parents see the children live a life of dharma. How should they make them live a life of dharma? When they're very, very young, the parents cannot teach the children why they should live a life of dharma. What is moksha? What is jnanam? And how they should mentally become prepared for jnanam, for which they have to live a life of dharma. Therefore, they have to follow dharma. All these things, the parents cannot teach children because the children are too young to understand anything. You cannot talk about purushartha nischayaha to children. You cannot talk about the moksha is the ultimate purushartha. You cannot tell, no, jnanam, self-knowledge is the only means for moksha. And for that jnanam, no, my mind has to become pure and steady. You cannot talk about it. And to become mentally pure and steady, you have to live a life of dharma. All these things the children are too young to understand. But still, without their knowledge, at least they, without knowing the value of knowledge, value of dharma also, they had to be made, they had to follow dharma. How to make them live a life of dharma? Without their knowledge of value of dharma, they cannot know the value of dharma, understand the value of dharma, but still they have to follow dharma. How? Make them do whatever you say. I mean, the parents should be very clear about the value of dharma, and they should make the children live a life of dharma, for which they have to get them emotionally hooked. Okay? Janmana jayate shudraha karmana dvija uchyate veda pathena viprasyat brahmano brahma vedanat. The child is born, the child janmana jayate shudraha. The child does not know what is right and what is wrong. And the one, therefore whatever the mind tells the child will do. It will go here and there, run here and there, push that and pull that and Well, because child doesn't know. That even if you go and hit the child and tell him, why you do this, the child doesn't understand why he did it also. So the child doesn't know by it herself or himself, and nor can the child be told what is and what is wrong also. That time the child is said to be Shudraha. No, who is a Shudra? Whoever does not know what is right and wrong and cannot even understand what is right and wrong. Even if other people tell, 1 year old, 2 year old, what can you tell them? You have to just look after them. You can't tell them this is what is right, this is what is wrong. They are too young to understand. And that age, children of that age are said to be Shudraha. Those who do not know what is right and what is wrong. Nalladhu kettadhu theriyadhu. No? They do not know what is proper and what is improper. And afterwards, and then they become little, when they start listening to you, they can understand your lip movement. When they start listening to you, understand whatever you tell them, and then you start doing the right and wrong in keeping with the elder's instructions. They are called what? Dvijaha. Dvijaha. The child is called a Dvijaha. When the child is able to do the right, avoid the wrong, not by his own understanding, in keeping with the elder's instructions. The child is called a Dvijaha. That is that maturity of a child from being incapable of knowing, understanding what is right and wrong, doing what is right, avoiding the wrong, and the child becomes what now starts doing the right, avoiding the wrong, in keeping with the elder's instructions. That maturity, that growth is called what? Second birth. The child is called Dvijaha. And later on, but even then, the child does the right, avoids the wrong, but the child does not know even now why I should do the right, why I should not do the wrong. That the child does not know. Only when the child grows up, becomes a big boy, he starts studying the Vedanta, when he understands what the Purusharta is, what is the purpose of living this life, and how in knowledge of one should know the truth of the universe, and for which one has to know one's own self, and for that self-knowledge one has to become mentally pure and steady, and to become mentally prepared for the knowledge, to have the disposition of the mind required for jnanam, one should live a life of dharma. Only then the child knows the value of dharma, isn't it? So Veda Pathena, by being exposed to the study of the Shastram, when the child later understands the value of dharma and then lives a life of dharma, the child is called Vipraha. So he, from being a raw, immature child, becomes more mature, then thereafter becomes more mature. When he knows the value of dharma and lives a life of dharma, he is more mature. Without knowing the value of dharma, when he lives a life of dharma, he is mature. When he does not know anything, doesn't understand, does not follow dharma, then he is immature. The immature becomes mature becomes more mature. As a more mature person, knowing the value of dharma, when he lives a life of dharma, as a result of which he has the appropriate disposition of the mind required for jnanam, thereby when he has jnanam, when he knows the truth, he is a Brahmanaha, the most mature. Shudraha, Dvijaha, Vipraha and Brahmanaha. Is it clear? Clear or not? Therefore, the parents have only way to make, the parents' greatest responsibility is to see that the children follow dharma without knowing the value of dharma. How to make children follow dharma without making them understand the value of dharma? There will be a time when they will know the value of dharma and they will follow the dharma. But until they become ready for knowing the value of dharma also, we can't afford to allow them to, you know, live as they like. We have to make them live a disciplined life. How? only by accommodating nonsense and all putting up with the things and giving them lot of love and warmth and care and attention. Children need all the attention of parents. Really. It's a big tyaga, not an easy joke. Parenting means what? Big responsibility, giving everything, and then the child somehow, they make them live a life of dharma, for which the parents have to set an example living a life of dharma. Then they grow up, and the children, when they live in such atmosphere, they live a life of dharma, the highly cultured background. Such children become really bright. I mean what? Only when you live a life of dharma, you're able to discover what now? You quickly learn the limitations of the worldly things. The dull-minded person cannot see quickly the limitations of worldly things. We'll be so engrossed in the worldly object, we'll be going again and again, back to the worldly things, because the Shastram does not say you should deprive yourself of the enjoyment of pleasures, but definitely we should know the limitations of the enjoyment of pleasures, discover dispassion towards those pleasures, enjoy them, but discover dispassion towards them, grow out of desire for them. How long will you be, falling in a slush? Therefore, really Shastram, that is why, and for such growth, that's called growth, isn't it? Therefore, for one to be able to understand the limitations of everything and thereby to become dispassionate, have mukshutvam. Oh, moksha is the end. I want moksha. That passion for moksha, the burning desire for moksha, if a person can discover, and thereby knowledge is the only means for moksham. Therefore, the jignasa, the desire jignasutvam, the desire for knowledge also, if a person can discover. Now, to discover moksha being the end, to discover the desire for knowledge. Knowledge is knowing the value of knowledge. And thereby, how one discovers the value of knowledge? By discovering the limitations of everything and developing dispassion towards a vairagyena, vairagyam. And vairagyam comes when? Only when you have viveka. So, sadhana chatushtaya sampatihi. This word we all have heard, remember? Sadhana chatushtaya sampatihi. What did you hear? Tattvabodha. At least I'm happy you remember the text. So, sadhana chatushtaya sampattihi, the fourfold qualifications of this Vedantic student, to become qualified, okay? To have those qualifications effortlessly, easily, then the children should grow up in such cultured background. To have this, that is why quickly, but not very young, 13, 14. At least when you become 40, 50, then quickly, immediately you should have that. Vairagyam should be there, Viveka should be there, Vairagyam should be there, and Mukshutvam should be there, Jignasutvam, desire for knowledge should be there. Then the life's experiences have taught you the lesson. Then the life has become useful, meaningful, fruitful. The life has taught you lessons. Now you learn these lessons, life's experiences have resulted in what? Have blessed you with the viveka. What viveka? There's nothing in the world can make me happy. Everything in the world can make me pleased, keep me pleased for some time-bound pleasures. And the pleasure goes what? Arjane dukkham, rakshane dukkham, nashe ati dukkham. In having the pleasure, I had to work very hard to have the pleasure. And in preserving the pleasure, I had to work very, very, very hard. And once I lose it, again it's a greater pain, isn't it? It involves pain. To have any pleasure, any enjoyment of any pleasure, gaining pleasure involves pain, maintaining enjoyment of pleasure involves pain, in losing pleasure there's a greater pain. Okay, that's why dukkha mishrita sukham is what? Pleasure. Dukkha mishrita sukham. There's no dukkha amishrita sukham. Pure happiness, joy alone is there. No pain at all in pleasure. Such a pleasure is not there. Therefore, this, but now once a person lives, one has to live one's life properly and understands, and then this person becomes what? Vivekaha. If a person can have viveka, the discriminative knowledge of what is permanent, what is impermanent, permanent alone can make me happy. Therefore, it is Bhagavan, it is the truth of the universe, it is the self-knowledge which will make me really, help me discover my swarupam, being happiness. Nothing else in the world will make me, really give me everlasting happiness. If this understanding is there, naturally you will grow out of desire for things, and you will, your passion will be only for jnanam. And such a vivekaha is there. Viveka is there, vairagyam will be naturally there. Vairagyam is not something, no. Somebody is pushing you to go and study, go to Gurukulam and study Vedanta. No, it should be your own choice. I want to study, no. That, nobody can force, that's why we never make advertisements. Because Vedanta study, we should not go and grab people, organize, you know, print pamphlets, send everywhere. Only information sake we send, not for grabbing or emotionally blackmailing. We never work hard to grab people and make them, you know, organizing, we never work. It will naturally happen. People who are mature will come for these classes, come for, be interested in Shastra. And our regularity also in keeping with their priorities. How regular people are, how, you know, what is the priority in keeping with themselves? That's why we don't find anybody comes and come and go. They don't come, okay, fine. Because it's their own, isn't it? And when anybody wants to do anything, it's all there, how the mind chases them. Accordingly, their behavior is. So they're helpless. So we don't find fault with anybody for any such behavior. We leave it. Anyway, so what I want to say here, this dispassion, vairagyam, and therefore the viveka results in vairagyam, and with vairagyam, the person as a mukshu is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, and he is what? Sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. One who is ended with these fourfold qualifications, a person can become, you know, the prepared student for jnanam. When, oh, please teach me, I want to study, I want to know what Brahman is, who Brahman is, I want to know the truth. No, with just that burning desire, the student will approach a student, okay? Such a student is said to be a great, brilliant student, and Bhrguhu is such a student, okay? So I want to say, who is a Bhrguhu? Is not, we don't send 10 emails, please come to the class, there's a class, no. He is just chasing the teacher, isn't there? His own father. And so, Bhrugurvai Varunihi, Bhrugurvai Varunihi. And here is such a student, Bhruguhu. And he is son of Varunaha Varunihi. My God, time just flows. Huh? Bhrugurvai Varunihi. Bhrugur vai varunihi, Bhrugur vai varunihi. The first sentence introduces the disciple. What is his name? Who is he? Bhruguhu. Who is his Bhruguhu? Son of Varunaha. For known as Varunihi. Here comes the student Varunihi Bhruguhu, son of Varunaha. And who is the father? What did Varuna, this Varunihi do? This boy, young boy, as I told you, Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampannaha. Okay, the one who is very brilliant student, and he has, what did he do? He has diagnosed. It's like going to the hospital, getting all the blood tests done, scanning done, x-rays done, everything finished, then disease is diagnosed. Like this, what now? Living this life, This is what now? Resulted in? Now all the tests are over. Living the life itself is what? It's like having the tests and all done. Having the tests then result in what? Diagnosis of the disease. What actually is the problem? This boy has diagnosed the disease also. Oh, samsaraha. Ignorance is the, isn't it? Disease. Samsara, problem, symptom. Samsara is the symptom. Continuously going through pains and pleasures and pains and pleasures. Samsara is the symptom of the disease of ignorance and diagnosed very well. And for that now, and the doctor prescribes the medicine also. Jnanam is the only beshajam. And bishak is what now? The doctor is not bishop, bishak. Bishak is the teacher. That's why Dakshinamurti is the bishak. I told you already. The avaidya. Okay? The bhavarogam nivartayati. Nivarakaha. The remover of the disease of life of becoming through the medicine of knowledge, by removing the disease of ignorance, now one who frees you from bondage is called the Guruhu. Therefore here, this Varuna, Varunihi, Bhriguhu, has finished his diagnosis, finished all the tests, and diagnosed the disease, and he knows the medicine also, Jnanam, and for which he approaches the doctor for prescription. If you go to yourself, the medical shop, the chemist, they will not give you medicine. Like if you study Shastram yourself, you will not understand. You had to go for prescription. Like that, here also you had to go to the teacher, and from the teacher alone you have to listen. Isn't it? Therefore, he approaches the teacher. Bhrugurvai Varunihi. Varunam pitaramupasasara. Varunam pitaramupasasara. So pitaram varunam upasasara. Upasasara means, upasarati is the word. Upasarati means approaches, goes near. And upasasara had approached, past perfect tense of upasarati, isn't it? This bhruguhu approached his father Varunaha, who happens to be his teacher also. Imagine, any guru, any teacher should have great compassion and abundance of love for this student. Can't afford to be, you know, angry or all those things. Definitely. No teacher can't afford to be. No, I've seen Swamiji's life actually living like that. Therefore, my highly compassionate and accommodative teacher. So, and if the student happens to be his own son also, imagine how it will be. Therefore, he approaches the teacher. Varunam pitaramupasasara. Varunam pitaramupasasara. And what an amount of respect the student had for his teacher, who is also father. He says, the way he addresses, you can understand. Adihi bhagavo brahmeti. Adihi bhagavo brahmeti. Adihi bhagavo brahmeti. So, adihi bhagavaha brahma iti. This sentence is said by Bhruguhu, the student's sentence. Okay? The sentence, the words uttered by the student Bhruguhu ends where? Iti, with the iti. What do you say? Hey bhagavaha. Hey bhagavaha means what now? Oh Lord. Okay? Oh Lord, hey Bhagavaha, express his expression of great respect for any elderly person. Hey Bhagavaha, oh Lord, means expression of respect. No, okay, here, ஹே பகவஹ, ஓ லார்ட், பிரம்ம அதீஹி, டீச் மீ பிரம்மன். பிரம்ம அதீஹி, ஈவன் டு கோ அண்ட் ஆஸ்க் ஹிம் பிரம்ம அதீஹி, திஸ் பாய் மஸ்ட் ஆல்ரெடி நோ. யூ சம்படி வில் நாட் சிம்பிளி கோ அண்ட் ஆஸ்க், பிளீஸ் டீச் மீ பிரம்மன். யூ வாண்ட் கோ அண்ட் ஆஸ்க் அன்லெஸ் யூ நோ வாட் இஸ் பிரம்மன், இஸ் இட் வாட் இஸ் இம்ப்ளைட் பை தி வேர்ட் பிரம்மன், வாட் ஹி டஸ் நாட் நோ, வை ஹி ஷுட் நோ. No, all these things the boy must already know. How can he go and ask for knowledge, self-knowledge, Brahma Jnanam, if he does not know what is it for? Therefore, the way he addresses the student implies what? The standard of Bhruguhu. That means he is already a Mumukshuhu, he is a Jignyasuhu. Mumukshuhu means what? The one who has burning desire for moksha is a mumukshuhu, which means he is a jignyasuhu. He wants to know what the truth is, therefore he is jignyasuhu. As a mumukshuhu, as a jignyasuhu, he approaches the teacher and knowing the value of jnanam, and he is asking what? No, not for anything else. Adhihi bhagavo brahmeti, may you teach me Brahman, is what he asked. Therefore, when he asked, unto that student, next line comes, tasma etat provacha, tasma etat provacha, tasma etat provacha, tasma etat provacha, tasma etat provacha. That tasma yetat should be understood tasmai yetat pravacha. Provacha tasmai means what? It is a to him, is a dative case form of saha. Saha, that person. Tam tena tasmai. Tasma means to him. Tasma means to him. To whom? To that student, the brilliant student Bhruguhu. Tasmai Bhrugave. No? To that brilliant student Bhruguhu, who had approached this father, this person, Yetad Provacha. Provacha means, we have to understand, Varunaha Provacha. Varuna, the father and the teacher of Bhruguhu, said this to him, Bhruguhu, to that Bhrugu, who that highly qualified, properly, adequately qualified student Bhruguhu, this father Varuna said this. What did he say? The following lines. We'll see what did he say. தஸ்மை ஏதத் ப்ரோவாச்ச, ஏதத்னா இதை அவருக்கு சொன்னார், பிருகுவிற்கு சொன்னார். தி வருணா, தி ஃபாதர், தி டீச்சர், டோல்ட் பிருகு, டோல்ட் ஹிம் பிருகு, தி ஸ்டூடெண்ட், திஸ் வேர்ட்ஸ், திஸ் ஹி செட் திஸ் டு ஹிம். வாட் ஹி சே? அண்ட் ஹியர் he gives some clues. The teacher gives first some clue or hints. He doesn't directly teach the big way. The teacher, what does he do? He gives a clue. And I want to tell you one important thing. In this Bhruguvalli, the word tapaha is used repeatedly. And the word tapaha literally means penance and austerity, other preparatory disciplines. But in this context, the word tapaha means the direct discipline called vicharaha. Please understand, the word tapas means literally penance, austerity, vows, etc. But here the word tapaha in this section means vicharaha, tapa alochane, No? Alochana means what now? Enquiry, introspection. Isn't it? Therefore, tapaha is used here. So when this person, he approached his father, and the father gives some clue, gives some hints. So, jnana upalabdhi suchakani, you know, how some hints are given here. And what are the hints here? He mentions the five layers of personality. He gives the hints, you know, five layers of personality. When pancha koshaha, he gives the clue words. If he mentions the five layers of personality, pancha koshaha. Because pancha kosha viveka, pancha kosha vicharaha is again here briefly presented. In Bhrigavalli also, pancha kosha viveka, which we have pancha kosha vichara, enquiry into the our analysis of the five layers of personality, which has been elaborately done in the previous chapter, is again presented briefly here. Okay, so he gives the first clue words, he gives some hints, and later on he presents the tatastha lakshanam of Brahman. The father, Varunaha, also mentions the definition of Brahman. And which definition of Brahman? Indirect definition of Brahman. What is the indirect definition of Brahman called in Sanskritam? Tatastha lakshanam of Brahman. So he mentions the indirect definition of Brahman, tatastha lakshanam of Brahman. And he also mentions some words which are like clue for understanding pancha kosha viveka. Okay, we have to see that now. And what is tatastha lakshanam of Brahman? What is indirect definition of Brahman? We'll see that also. Before we go, let us read the words now. Annam pranam. Annam pranam chakshushrotram
manovachamiti
tagumhovacha. Okay, tam ha uvacha. Tagumhovacha means tam ha uvacha. He said this to him. He said this to him means what? Who said to whom? Varuna said this to his son and student Bhrguhu. He said this to Bhrugu. Varuna said this to Bhrguhu. What did he say? He gave words. He mentioned some words which are the clue words or hints for pancha kosha viveka. He doesn't present everything explicitly. Okay, some words are mentioned. We have to take those words as he guru Bhrguhu recommends. Sorry, Varunaha recommends pancha kosha viveka analysis of or inquiry into the five layers of personality is hinted by the teacher here. Who says this? Shankara says in his Bhashyam, so what teacher said that I am repeating to you. Annam pranam
chakshushrotram
manovachamiti tagumhovacha. Tam ha uvacha. Indeed, the teacher Varuna said this to his son and the student Bhrguhu. Annam, Annam means annamaya koshaha. The word annam implies annamayaha koshaha. Annamayaha koshaha is what? Physical body, the gross physical body. Annamayaha koshaha is indicated by the word annam. Okay? Then, pranam.
Pranam.
Now, pranam implies pranaha, and pranaha implies, indicates pranamayaha koshaha. Pranamayaha koshaha. He just says, then, chakshushrotram. Chakshuhu and Shrotram, two are mentioned here. Two sense powers are mentioned. Chakshuhu is seeing power. Shrotram is a hearing power. The mention of two subtle powers indicate what now? It implies all other rest of the three more powers also. Chakshuhu and Shrotram, two words imply all the five sense powers. Pancha Jnana Indriyani, five powers of organs of knowledge are implied by these two words, Chakshuhu and Shrotram. Then, Manaha. Manaha means mind. So, Antahkaranam. Now, what should say now? Chakshuhu, Shrotram plus Manaha. Together, we should take it as Manomaya Koshaha. Sense organs plus mind, six aspects together constitute Manomayaha Koshaha. Next, Vacham. Vacham means what? Walk. Walk is organ of speech. If organ of speech, one represents all the rest of the five organs of actions. What are they? Hands, legs, or reproductive organ, excretory organ, organ of speech, all the five of them are indicated by one word, vacham. So, vak stands for the powers of organs of actions, karmendriyani. And you have to include what? And vak and karmendriyani, and also what? You have to include the prana, isn't it? The prana, what is pranamaya kosha? Pranaha, the word prana, plus vak together form karmendriyani, pancha karmendriyani and pranaha, pancha pranaha, 10 of them together constitute the pranamaya kosha. Mind and sense organs together constitute the manomaya kosha. Now, vijnanamaya koshaha, anandamaya koshaha are not mentioned here, but we have to take it, this itself imply what now? There is a vijnanamaya koshaha and also anandamaya koshaha. What is vijnanamaya koshaha? Five sense organs and intellect together constitute the vijnanamaya kosha, and anandamaya kosha is what? Anandamaya koshaha. Karana shariram. Remember that. Karana shariram, total ignorance and bliss experience. What you experience in deep sleep state is what? Anandamaya koshaha. Like this, they are not mentioned here explicitly, but they are implied here. We have to take. So, annam pranam chakshushrotram manovachamiti. When he gave the clue words, hint words, he implied all the five layers of personality. Okay? Because why he is mentioning, just he gives only clue words? It's because he is a very bright student. Therefore, annam pranam chakshushrotram manovachami. But for us, it is not straight away. We have already finished what? Panchakosha Viveka, we have already done in the previous chapter. So, even for us, it is okay. Therefore, he just hints. 5 words. These words are mentioned, and these words mentioned, we have to make out these words imply what? Pancha Koshaha. Thereafter, with these clue words alone, he can't do anything. Therefore, with these clue words, implying the 5 koshas, pancha koshas, now the teacher continues, in the following sentence, he presents the tatastha lakshanam of Brahman. Indirect definition of Brahman is given. How indirect definition of Brahman means what? Is it? He says, what is Brahman? He says that, look at this.
Yato va imani bhutani jayante. Yato va imani bhutani jayante. Yato va imani, imani bhutani jayante. Bhutani jayante. Yena jatani jivanti. Yena jatani jivanti. Yena, yena jatani, jatani jivanti, jivanti. Yat prayantyabhisam vishanti. Yat prayantyabhisam vishanti. Yat prayantyabhisam vishanti.
Yat prayantyabhisam vishanti.
Tadvijignyasasva. Tadvijignyasasva.
So,
Tad Brahmeti, Satapotapyata, Satapotapyata, Satapastaptva.
As I told you, this Upanishad also is what? In the prose form, Brahmana Upanishad, and we have many Anuvakas. Here also 10 Anuvakas are there. And we have covered reading the first anuvaka. We have to go to second anuvaka. But here I have to explain the following. What is this? Tatastha lakshanam of Brahman. Okay, we'll see that when you come back from tea.
Annam pranam chakshushrotram mano vachamiti tagum ho vacha. Pranam chakshushrotram mano vachamiti tagum ho vacha.
So he only mentions these words, which are clue words or hints, and known as Brahma Upalabdhi Dwarani. Shankara says in his Bhashyam, these words are Brahma Upalabdhi Dwarani. These are hint words, clue words to arrive at Brahman. Therefore, we take these words as what? The words implying Panchakosha Vivekaha. That means the student is supposed to use the Panchakosha Prakriya. No, the method, the analysis of panchakoshas, the student should understand, he should do the analysis of 5 layers of personality. Therefore, he can arrive at Brahman. That's what is hinted. And then, what is Brahman? Again, he gives,
Yato va imani bhutani jayante. Yato va imani bhutani jayante. Yena jatani jivanti.
Yena jatani jivanti.
Yat prayantyabhisam vishanti. Yat prayantyabhisam vishanti.
So, till abhisam vishanti.
Tadvijignyasasva.
Tadvijignyasasva.
Tad brahmeti. Tad brahmeti.
Okay. Tad brahma iti vijignyasasva. Oh, my student, may you know that be Brahman. what is that Brahman, what should be known as Brahman here, what is that Brahman, he says, yataha va imani bhutani jayante. Jayante are born or come into existence. What imani bhutani? Imani means idam ime imani. This singular. Imani means these. So these beings means what? The living beings, non-living things. Elements, subtle elements, gross elements, elementals, living beings, non-living things, mobile beings, all these beings that obtain in this universe. No? All these beings, imani bhutani, all these existent beings, what now, have come into existence from that. So that from which, yataha means from which, yataha. So very famous definition, important mantra. Why? Because even Vyasacharyaha has taken this word yataha and used it as the Brahma Sutra, in his Brahma Sutra's first mantra, first sutram. Janmadyasya yataha. What? Janmadi asya. Asya jagataha janma srishti sthitihi. Srishti, janma means srishtihi. Srishtihi, sthitihi, layaha, yataha. That from which the universe has come into existence, that by which the universe is sustained, into which the universe resolves, may you know that to be Brahman. Or even janmadi asya jagataha yataha. Janmadyasya yataha iti Brahma Sutram, and for which Vyasacharya has taken that word from this only, yataha. Yataha na yengirundo, from where? From which? From whom? Okay? Yataha. Tataha means from there. Itaha means from here. Kutaha means from where. Itaha, tataha, kutaha. Yataha, because ko solala. Yataha, from where also. Okay? Therefore, yataha, from where, from which, that from which. Imani bhutani jayante. All these beings are born or have come into existence from which? And then, yena jata nijivanti, yena, that by which all these beings which have come into existence are sustained and preserved, or they live, they continue to survive. Yena, by which these born beings, what now? Jivanti, survive. Ye najata nijivanti. Then, yat prayanti abhisamvishanti. Yat, towards which, abhisamvishanti, in which they resolve. Abhisamvishanti. Abhisamvishanti means they resolve into which. And become one with which, called abhisamvishanti. And when do they resolve? Prayanti. Prayanti means while leaving from here. Prayanti. Prayanti, actually, it is a root e dhatuhu. Ika. Now, many people learn Sanskrit. I'll tell you this. Ikaraha. E means to go. And ti affix becomes yati. And in plural, yanti. And prefix is what now? Prayanti. But this is not the word prayanti. But here prayanti means, bhutani prayanti. Prayanti means while going. It's a present participle. We should not take it as a present plural verb. It is not let, okay, present tense plural verb. It is a participle, present participle. Prayanti means what? While going, gacchati. No, while going, while returning back, where they go and resolve. Prayanti, திரும்பி போகும்பொழுது, ஓகே, வைல் கோயிங் பிரயந்தி, வைல் கோயிங் அவே, வைல் கோயிங் பேக், வைல் ரிட்டர்னிங், தே கம் ஃப்ரம் பிரம்மன், தே சஸ்டெய்ன்ட் பை பிரம்மன், அண்ட் வைல் கோயிங் அவே, வைல் டையிங், நோ, வென் தே ரிட்டர்ன் அண்ட் தே ரிசால்வ் இன்டு விச் அபிசம் விஷந்தி, வைல் கோயிங் தே கோ பேக் அண்ட் ரிசால்வ் இன்டு விச், தட்ஸ் கால்ட் வாட் நவ். சோ பிரயந்தி வி டேக்கன் ஆஸ் பிரசன்ட் பார்ட்டிசிபிள். While going, they resolve into which, that is called Brahman. Is it clear now? Prayanti should not be taken as a present plural verb, let present verb. It is a present participle, which means while going, while leaving, during the departure, at the time of death. Prayanti, pohumbuludu, now they resolve into which. That is what is Brahman. Okay? That from which all these beings are born, and that because of which, by which all these beings which are born continue to survive, and these beings while going and they return to which, resolve into which, that is Brahman. May you know that to be Brahman. This is the Tatastha Lakshanam, indirect definition of Brahman. Okay, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma, which means these words reveal Brahman Swarupam, the direct definition of Brahman. Brahman is pure knowledge. They say, but here, it's only indirectly given. Indirectly it is revealed. What is Brahman? It means Brahman being the material cause of the universe is presented. Brahman is the upadana karanam of the jagat. And here upadana karanam of the jagat means what now? Nimitta karanam of the jagat also is Brahman. Upadana karanam of the jagat also is Brahman. And then here we have to understand, whenever we say Brahman is the jagat karanam, means what is jagat then? Jagat is the karyam. Jagat is the karyam, the effect. Brahman is the jagat karanam. And whenever Brahman is said to be the jagat karanam Brahma. What is Brahman? Brahman is the cause of the jagat. Universe means, we should not take this sentence very literally. Okay, why don't you take it? Immediately we would think of taking the meaning of the sentences literally, directly as it is. We should take only the bhavartha. What is implied by the statement? Brahma jagat karanam. Jagat karanam Brahma. The cause of the universe is Brahman. When it is said, how should we take it? Now it's called gauna prayogaha. Gauna prayogaha means figurative expression. Figurative expression means what? We have to see. Suppose if we say, this person is the backbone of the family. Somebody is said to be the backbone of the family. And he is the, what now? Pillar of this big hospital. We say this, no? Somebody, when we say that, that means, why should we take the meaning? Backbone of the family means, literally we should not take it. What does it mean? Just as backbone is so important for us to sit straight, or we all will be like this. So important, and without which how we cannot sit straight like this. So also what now? This person is so important for the family to survive, you know. The person, you say, the big support, backbone is a support for the whole, you know, the all this physical system full of flesh and then tissues and muscles and nerves and all of them. Without the backbone, it will become like this. And backbone keeps them on straight and support, isn't it? Therefore, we understand that. So whenever we say some expressions, such expressions, they're all figurative expressions, we have to understand certain features are similar. Okay? What is the similarity between this person who is like the backbone or backbone of the family, and what is the backbone? similarities. What are similarities? And there must be some common features. There must be some uncommon, dissimilar features also. Isn't it? You can't take it very seriously. Backbone means, no? So these common features are, just as backbone is a support for this thing, whole physical being, similarly, this person is the big support for the family. And this person is really big support for the entire organization. Like we talk about this support, isn't it? All dissimilar features, which we will definitely not take. Oh, backbone is full of calcium and it is only inert. Backbone has no life by itself. Okay, like this person is not like that. We don't take this dissimilar features. We take only the similar features, isn't it? Like this here also, when we say Brahma Jagat Karanam, we should take the... Okay, it's a figurative expression. What does it mean? See, Brahman is the ultimate cause of the universe. It means what? Just as ultimate cause means what? When you say Brahman is the cause of the universe, understand, just as gold is the cause, ornament is an effect, when we say, any effect is only the Nama Rupa. Okay, you've already heard this many times. I'm going to say something little different. You have to notice very carefully. Don't think I'm going to repeat it. Repetition will be there, but something new you also will be learning. Any effect will be, effect is Nama Rupa, name and a form only. We know very, any effect is a mere name of a form, and which are non-substantial. The cause is the only substance. The actual stuff, substance is only the cause. So gold is the substance, ornament is non-substantial name and form, which is an effect. When you say Jagat Karyam, Brahman is the cause of the universe, means what is to be understood here, we should not take exactly, no, the figurative expression be understood clearly, which means Brahman is the substance and the entire Jagati is non-substantial Namarupam. Very difficult to accept, okay? Because for us, it is, the whole Jagat is so substantially real for us. This is very difficult to understand. The whole Prapancha is an effect, means any effect is non-substantial Namarupa. This is what you have to understand. How do you understand any other cause and effect? When you say something is the, gold is the cause, wood is the cause, furniture is the effect, means we know what an effect is. Effect is mere non-substantial Namarupa. A cause alone is the only substance. If we say the entire Prapancha is effect, cause of this Prapancha is Brahman, means Brahman is the only stuff. Brahman is the only substance. Other than Brahman, everything else here is non-substantial Namarupa. Is it clear now? That means Brahman is the ultimate, absolute cause. Why do you say absolute cause? Because any cause has its own cause. A cause, anything which is seen as a cause, becomes an effect from the standpoint of its own cause. Everything, anything which is a cause, has its own cause, and that cause has some other cause, that cause has some other cause. Therefore, what now? The cause which has a cause is said to be a relative cause, apekshikam karanam. But a causeless, uncaused cause is the moola karanam. So this Brahman is the Moola Karana, means it is never an effect. Okay? That which is never an effect, ever the cause, is this absolute substance, the only substance, your Moola Karanam, not Apekshikam Karanam, not the relative cause, but absolute cause. Okay? And here one more thing you have to learn here. So Moola Karanam Brahma, Natu Apekshikam Karanam. Brahman is the only substance. The whole prapancha is non-substantial namarupa. This is a fact we have to understand very clearly later on. It's only present now, only beginning now. We'll see that again in the following classes. Then when we say Brahman is the Nimitta Karanam also, when you say Brahman is the, that from which everything has come into existence, and that by which everything is sustained, into which everything resolves, when you say, definitely that cause must be material cause only. Isn't it? Because efficient cause is involved only in creation. With the creation, therefore, Srishti Karanam, Sthiti Karanam, Laya Karanam. Srishti Karanam, cause of creation, cause of preservation or sustenance, and cause of resolution, Laya Karanam. Isn't it? For any material cause if we take, it is the cause of creation, because the production or creation of an ornament, the effect is not possible without the gold. And later on, the ornament, for it to survive, to be preserved, to be sustained as an ornament, again, the cause must be very much present inseparably. And even when the ornament is, you know, melted, you know, the shape goes also, still it continues to resolve where? In the same gold. And therefore, cause is upadana karanam, the material cause alone is throughout. The effect is never away. Before it comes into existence, it is already unmanifest in the cause. It becomes manifest also, it continues to exist in the very cause. It resolves also, it goes back to the cause only. Therefore, material cause is the sthiti karanam. Srishti karanam is the material cause. Sthiti karanam also is the material cause. And laya karanam also is material cause. So, srishtau, sthitau, laye picha, in all the three, the material is very much involved. Whereas, this Nimitta Karanam, the intelligent cause, is involved only in what? Srishti Karanam. For example, I'll tell you, the goldsmith makes the chain finished. Only in creation, goldsmith's job. He has to bring the unmanifest name and form, which is potentially existent in the gold, to manifestation. Then if we effect the chain, he gives you with the gold, the cause, isn't it? And goes back. The efficient cause also has to be with an effect. You have to bring the goals with also home, which is not practical, isn't it? So also, definitely not. The carpenter also comes and makes the table, gets the money and goes back. He is not sitting all the time along with the table. Therefore, Srishti Karanam, the intelligent cause is only Srishti Karanam. Whereas, Thiti Laya Karanam is not the, afterwards, the goldsmith doesn't need to be there to maintain, to preserve the, for the preservation of the ornament, he doesn't need to be there, isn't it? And you definitely, he can't take the gold chain back also, even if it breaks. And you had to. Therefore, Srishti Karanam is Nimitta Karanam. Whereas upadana karanam is srishti sthiti laya karanam. Therefore, okay, when you say, and one more which you have to understand here. So, what is the first thing you have learned now? When you say Brahman is the jagat karanam, when the sentence is said here, it's a figurative means. We understand that any effect is namarupa, non-substantial. So also, if the universe is a karyam, Brahman is the karanam, universe is the karyam, which means universe is just non-substantial namarupa only, which means Brahman is the only substance. Okay? And the next sentence. Next thing, what, any cause has to undergo change to become an effect. Any cause, generally said, karana means, what is the general rule of any cause? There is no cause which becomes an effect without undergoing any change or modification. Because the gold has to go through some processing, gets melted, and only then it can become an ornament. The wood has to go through some processing for it to become a table. Even the milk has to become what? Now go through some changes to become yogurt. Even the food we eat definitely has to go through some biochemical changes to become our flesh and bone and marrow, all those things. Which means, without undergoing a change, no material cause can become an effect. Whereas Brahman, without undergoing a change, it becomes the material cause. Generally, any material cause has to undergo change to become the effect, whereas Brahman, without undergoing any change, becomes the material cause. Therefore, we call this material cause is called upadana karanam, but gold is the upadana karanam for the ornament, wood is the upadana karanam for the furniture, fabric is upadana karanam for a shirt, but here Brahman is the upadana karanam of the jagat, but because Brahman doesn't undergo any change like any other material cause, it is said to be what? Do you remember the word? Vivarta upadana karanam. Vivarta. Don't forget this. I taught so many times this word. I think you remember this, no? Vivarta. Do you remember now? At least you will recollect what I told you earlier. Vivarta upadana karanam means the material cause which becomes a material cause without undergoing any change. Therefore, Brahman is the upadana karanam, but vivarta upadana karanam. What about the material cause which undergo changes, like gold melts, isn't it? Then, by undergoing a change, if something becomes a cause, material cause of a given effect, it is said to be parinami upadana karanam. So, in the world, generally, all the upadana karanams are, all the material causes are parinami upadana karanam, whereas Brahman, as the material cause of the universe, is vivarta upadana karanam. And all the material causes of all the effects are relative causes only, because every cause has its, any cause which is an effect from the standpoint of something else has a cause of its own. Therefore, the cause which has a cause becomes an effect from its cause is said to be what? Relative cause, apekshikam karanam. Whereas Brahman is the uncaused, causeless cause which is never an effect or product. Therefore, it is moola karanam. Is it clear? Draw slowly, you have to understand many things here before we enter into the actual analysis of the sentence. Then, So Vedanta is a very, very special, unique pramanam which reveals this pure consciousness. What is pure consciousness? Non-material pure consciousness is the material cause of this universe. Non-material consciousness is the material, unchanging material cause of this universe. This is a fact and boldly revealed by the Upanishad. Okay, non-material consciousness is the unchanging material cause of the universe, which means this consciousness is the only substance, only stuff. There is no second thing or second substance other than consciousness. Therefore, when he says, and actually he's going to develop on this, this yato yato va imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat prayanti abhisamvishanti tad vijignasasva tad brahmeti satapotapyata. Actually, we'll come back and see this, but because it has to be developed. But before, why I'm stopping here, this tatastha lakshanam of Brahman, indirect definition of Brahman, which only hinted here, okay? We have to understand a little bit, and later on we are going to see again the panchakoshas. Even if you missed last time, don't miss it. So at least you become, it will really clarify your understanding of what you had before. We'll see in the following class.